Good evening. This is Pacifica National Board Governance Committee meeting. My name is Sar Brandava. I'm the chair of the committee. Vice chair is Lydia Brazan, and our Arpal Martin is our secretary. Arpal, would you please take the roll call and see if we have quorum?
Okay. Grace Aaron.
Here.
Lydia Brazan.
Wait, hold on. Here.
Brown.
Here.
Adrienne Jamont. Joseph Kay.
Here.
Roderick Hilgauer. Tracy Larkin. Bob Lederer.
Here.
Martin here. Sarv Randhawa.
Here.
Thomas Ruffin. Wendy Schroll.
Here.
Deb Shafto. Phoebe Ann Sorgan. Dan Woods.
Here.
Okay, that's nine. We have a quorum.
Thank you very much. We had scheduled a meeting on 19th of August, but due to my family emergency, I could not make it. And Arpal Martin and the committee tried to meet, but they could not get the quorum. So Arpal, he rescheduled the meeting with the committee for today. I had sent a proposed agenda for the August 16th meeting, and since it's a continuing meeting, I still have that proposed agenda, and we can modify a little bit, because I have invited, in the meantime, between 19th and today, August 16th and today, a new development. We have a new revised confidentiality agreement that was created to take into consideration all the concerns that our committee had, and our foundation attorney took into consideration all their concerns, and he developed this confidentiality agreement, so I invited him. So our first of all, I would like to have someone move to adopt the agenda so that we can make changes to it if we need to. So I'll call someone to make a motion to adopt the agenda.
So moved.
Thank you.
Who's moving that?
Jim.
Who?
Jim Brown.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any objection to adopting the agenda?
No objection.
Thank you. In the agenda, the next item was approval of minutes, and Arpal, could you tell us if we have minutes that need to be approved?
Yes, we do. We have a couple of sets here, and
okay.
We actually have, let's see, hold on 1 second while I do that. We have minutes from July 19th, and we also have the minutes of the sort of meeting on August 16th. And for people who don't understand that, when you have a meeting and you adjourn it, as we did to now, you still have to have minutes of it. So they're extremely short, and they're up on line. Basically, the August 16th minutes say that we convened. Quorum wasn't present. It says who attended. A motion was made and then amended to meet tonight at this time, and it passed, and we adjourned. So they're extremely short. I didn't get them up there very long ago, so probably nobody's seen them, but they're very short. However, the July 19th minutes have been up there for a while. So why don't I move to approve? Both sets of minutes, the July 19th and August 16th minutes. Okay.
Can I have a point of privilege? I guess. Can everybody hear? Well, I'm having a hard time hearing Arpal.
Oh really?
I want maybe.
You are a little faint. Yeah.
How's this?
He is a little faint. Yeah.
Starfall.
Hello, Phoebe here, KPFA.
Great.
Well, thank you. It's moved to approve July 19th and August 16th meeting minutes. Any objection to approving those minutes? If none, the meeting's minutes are approved. Next item on the agenda is confidentiality agreement status and discussion. I have sent on PAC Yahoo groups the final confidentiality agreement that took Dan Siegel, our foundation attorney, has revised the previous one to take into consideration all the concerns that our committee expressed over the last 2-3 months. So I've invited him, so I'll have him explain what he did and why he did that. Dan, would you go ahead and explain to us that confidentiality agreement?
Sure, thank you, Sarv. You know, at the meeting, I believe it was in July, which is the last time we discussed this, people had expressed concerns that they felt the language in some cases was not as clear as they wanted it to be, or perhaps could be seen as overbroad. So I basically attempted to incorporate those concerns, and hopefully on the draft that everyone has, the changes that I made are in bold, so they're easy to see.
I don't have a copy in front of me. Sorry, my printer's down. So,
okay,
maybe you could review them. I don't know.
Yeah, is there some way to post them, or are they available online?
It's on the PAC Yahoo groups. We sent it there. Okay. Let's see.
I just have to say I've never been able to access them.
Oh, okay. What's your? Oh no, I should not be asking the email.
What?
On the meeting here.
Yeah.
Let me get...
Perhaps they could be read again. They're not that long, are they?
Well, okay, as we go along, maybe Dan can, you know, cover it as you go along. It's not that long a document anyway. It's just one page.
Okay.
No, it's a short document.
It's a very short document. It's one page.
I think probably the most efficient way is if people raise their concerns. I'm not sure that I really have much more to say. I mean, I tried to listen. I know there are some people who don't think there should be one at all, and I suppose that's a decision for the board to make. But in terms of the concerns that people expressed about the way it was written, I did try to listen carefully and to get them all in there, and I believe I did. But again, that's for you to decide.
Maybe for the benefit of the people that do not have that agreement with them, Dan, maybe you want to, maybe...
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not sitting in front of a computer.
Oh.
So I'm kind of just doing this based on my memory and having shown it to you.
Dan, do you have an old one?
Excuse me?
I have the current one.
Do you have the initial confidentiality agreement with you?
No, I don't.
Do you have any document confidentiality agreement with
not
you?
In front of me, no.
Okay, well.
I have dial-up, unfortunately.
You have what?
Old-fashioned. I have dial-up. I don't have DSL on my computer, so I can't go online right now while we're speaking.
Oh, okay. Well, anybody else have the same problem? Except Dan?
This is Wendy. Can you just say when the final version was sent?
It was sent about an hour and a half, a couple hours ago.
Oh.
Well, I haven't even been online.
It's on the PAC Governance Yahoo group.
Okay.
Well, I mean, how many points are they? Can somebody just read them?
They're not that many. They're 5-6 points. It's not very long at all.
Well, could somebody read them? I mean, does somebody have in front of them?
Well, let's see. Go ahead, R. Paul. You can read it.
Okay. Can people hear?
Yeah.
Yep.
If you can't
yes.
hear, you're not going to say yes. So. Okay. I'll just plunge it. I'll read the whole thing. Now, some of this is in bold. I guess that's the part that's been changed.
Yeah, right.
Okay. All right.
Sir.
Here it goes. Pacifica Foundation Confidentiality Agreement. I.
Yeah.
Just a second. There's a tremendous echo here. Could you please somebody mute it? Go ahead.
Okay.
Do you mute?
What do you think it's star six.
Okay.
Foundation confidentiality agreement. I, and you fill in the blank, acknowledge that in the course of my membership on the blank, I will have access to confidential information concerning the Pacifica Foundation. Quote, confidential information. Confidential by the Pacifica National Board or a local station board and may include but is not limited to the following. One, information concerning potential or actual litigation against the Pacifica Foundation and or any of its officers, board members, or employees. Two, information concerning employees of the Pacifica Foundation unless the employees agrees that such information may be disclosed. Three, information regarding the sale or purchase of Pacifica property. Four, certain limited financial information regarding the Pacifica Foundation. Five, information disclosed during a closed session of any Pacifica Foundation board or committee. I agree that I will not disclose to anyone other than an attorney for the Pacifica Foundation, Marin, or my own attorney, provided that my attorney agrees to maintain the confidentiality of this information, close paren, any confidential information regarding the Pacifica Foundation. I acknowledge that if I fail to carry out this commitment, I may be subject to discipline by the Foundation. Such discipline may include removal from Pacifica boards and committees on which I sit or other penalties. I may also be subject to suit by the Foundation or by any person whose rights are violated by the improper disclosure of confidential information. I acknowledge that a decision to make confidential information public must be made by a vote of the board or committee in which the information was discussed, and that no individual has the authority to make that decision, and that it has a place for the date and a signature.
So where's the parts in bold, is the stand from KPFA?
Okay, the bold part is mostly this one paragraph as far as it says, confidential information is information that is disclosed in confidence and deemed confidential by the Pacifica National Board or a local station board. And then later on, point four, it says the words certain limited are bold, where it says certain limited financial information regarding the Pacifica Foundation. And then in the penultimate paragraph, the parenthesis part, where it says paren, or my own attorney, provided that my attorney agrees to maintain the confidentiality of this information, close paren. Then, later on, where it says subject to discipline by the Foundation, is bold. And then the sentence that starts right after, such discipline may, and then it includes removal and other stuff, and then the words, or other penalties, is in bold.
Okay. So that's the extent of all that. So any question that anybody has with this, that you can ask Dan. He's here. And I was thinking that after Dan's explanation, if we can have a short discussion, and then maybe we can go and see if we can out of our hair and give it to the Pacifica National Board, and they can discuss it there if they need further.
I'd like to be on the stack. Sorry, but it's Phoebe.
And then Wendy.
Dan.
Deb, Jeff, who I just came in.
Just a second. One second. Phoebe.
Hi, Deb.
Wendy.
Hello.
Wendy.
And okay, go ahead. So let's say we have limited time. How about if we limit our we can't limit it. How about if a couple of minutes or something like that, each person? Would that be okay? Can we agree to that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go ahead, Phoebe.
Okay, this is much better. I'm much more comfortable with this. Thank you, Dan. And
thank you.
I'm still a little concerned because you know we're going to be attacked for doing this by people who say that we're not transparent and so forth, and although I realize that it's necessary to have a confidentiality agreement, I'm wondering if the certain limited could be added to 1, 2, and 3, because it's it's not that we're not allowed to divulge any information at all about any employee. It's just certain limited information, and it'll be clear to us, right, what's confidential and what's not.
Hi, it's Vaj. I'm sorry, excuse me, it's Vajra. I just got on.
Ann, what do you think?
Well, you know, I don't think that that's an improper suggestion. If I understand Phoebe's point is that she wants to be clear that we're not saying all information. You know, the one of the changes that we made was in that introductory language where it's made clear that as a kind of a starting point, it's only the information that's deemed confidential by the national board or one of the committees that even, you know, meets the threshold. And then in the financial area, people were especially sensitive to that because of the need to have transparency around the financial information, so that it kind of is like a double safeguard or a double indication that it's not all the information. But certainly adding the language that Phoebe suggests would not be wrong in any way, and it might just add to the comfort level of people who are asked to sign it. Although it's a practical matter, you know, any personnel or litigation information that's disclosed in a closed session would be confidential, but there might be information that was not brought out in a closed session that would not be confidential, and that would, the language Phoebe suggests, we would simply emphasize that.
Okay. I was thinking now, is there any objection by anyone here? Could we move a little bit away from it?
I would like to be on the stack if there's a stack.
Okay, just a second, Grace.
Who is on the stack at this point?
Okay, we'll get to it later here. Okay, next one is Wendy.
I also
could
like
you,
this
could
a
please
lot
somebody
better.
Somebody turn their speakerphone off or mute yourself.
Star six.
Hello.
So I'll just try and do it anyway. So I like this one better too. And you know, I wonder though, as we try to refine it too much, if we take away from the Dan just started to say it. Obviously, if something's in executive session, and then you're not supposed to disclose it without agreement from the rest. You know, I mean, Lydia has a good thing that she says that they try to do, I think, at KPFK, is try to, at the end of each executive session, decide before you end what you're going to report out to the rest of the world. I'm just bringing this up is I'm saying, okay, if we talk about certain, I mean, board members are already bound by most of the, we already have all this stuff. We're just trying to make it a little more clear to people who aren't thinking about it that there are consequences for, you know, that you have certain responsibilities and there are consequences for revealing things out of executive session. I wonder about this part where you say, I may be subject to discipline by the foundation. I'm not sure if that's clear to everybody what that means. This sounds like it means the executive director, or I don't know. It doesn't sound like it means the board on which you serve. You know, if you break the confidentiality, may be subject to discipline by, and I think when it says the foundation, it means the board on which you serve. It doesn't mean that the ED or the CFO can discipline anybody. So I just wonder about that wording right there, and I'd like to know your opinion on that, Dan.
Well, again, Wendy, I agree with everything you said in the sense that this doesn't create any new obligations. It simply makes the obligations that people have more explicit, and also requires people to explicitly acknowledge that they do have those obligations, because I think it would be sort of unfair both to the foundation and to an individual if a situation arose where someone disclosed confidential information and then said, well, gee, I didn't know, I wasn't supposed to do this. So by having the agreement in the first place, if people are acknowledging that they do have these obligations, and the foundation also has proof that they acknowledge it. So that's, I think, one of the prime reasons for doing this. In terms of your point about discipline by the foundation, I think you're exactly right. Under our bylaws, only the national board or the LSB on which a person sits has the authority to impose any kind of discipline. And so maybe we'd want to, instead of say the foundation, we could say by the foundation's national board or the local station board on which I sit.
Or the body upon on which the, well, I don't know. Let me just add one more thing, and I'll stop. I wonder if it would be prudent to say in here, to kind of explain why this is, because what happens is when people break confidentiality, they invite legal action upon the foundation, should there be any. And so that would be my only addition. I'm sorry I didn't see this until the meeting started, but, you know, the people need to get a grip on the reason why we have this kind of thing is because anything you say once you're in a board position is construed as being a voice of the foundation, and so it can add more layers upon someone's suit against Pacifica.
Andy, you weren't here when Dan came before here in July. He did explain why we needed a confidentiality agreement.
I was.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. All right. So, next person on the stack. Are you done, Wendy?
I understand that anything I say could, that anything I do could invite further, that could endanger the Pacifica Foundation. Therefore, I agree to the, I don't know. That's just a suggestion. I'm not gonna stand in the way of anything.
Dan, you anything you want to add?
My comment is I think that Wendy's suggestion is a reasonable one if that's what people want to do. It's your decision.
Okay.
And we're not changing the legal realities.
Okay. Stan?
Yeah, gosh, I hardly know where to start. First off, it seems to be almost identical to the previous proposal. Just some very minor tweaking. One concern I have that leaps out at me, shades of 1999, that somebody could possibly be expelled for leaking information, let's say if there was a scheme to sell off one of the stations. Fortunately, somebody did violate that in 1999. That confidentiality revealed it to us that there was an attempt to sell off the station. And so I'm sort of floored by why that would be in there. So that's my first question. Secondly, the part about can't reveal any information or acknowledge or publicly discuss anything regarding pending or actual litigation. So my question about that one is, so if something is in the public record, that it's been in the newspapers or whatever, we're supposed to pretend like we're dumb. If some listener asks us about it, we can't even acknowledge it's happening, even though it's a matter of public record. How would that be a violation of confidentiality? I'm very concerned about that part, and also the part about it can be discussed with nobody, anything in executive session, except for the staff counsel or attorney. Does that mean you cannot discuss it with board members who didn't happen to be at that particular executive session? So that's my three questions right there.
Sarv, can I be added to the stack? This is Lydia.
Sure, Lydia. Go ahead, Stan.
Well, you know, Stan, in response to your second point about something that's in the public record, the introductory language hopefully makes clear that we're only talking about information that is imparted in confidence. So if you read in the newspaper or go to a court file or have a conversation with someone, which is not a confidential conversation, this document doesn't apply at all. Okay? So that's number one. Number two is that, you know, if there was a violation of the law being contemplated or something which is clearly improper, that is the reason that people added the language regarding consulting your attorney. I mean, if you think that something's going on that's improper and you are concerned about whether as a board member you have an obligation to do something about it, well, the option that the agreement gives you is to talk to an attorney of your choice, and you may learn at that point that the national board or an LSB or somebody is doing something illegal, in which case it would not be improper to bring it to light.
But what about the part about sale of property?
Well, you know, it would be my view that that sort of conversation would not be proper closed session conversation in the first place. So that, you know, one of the safeguards that we all have here, and I know, you know, on some parts of the organization it's really done pretty routinely, is that people are very vigilant to make sure that there aren't all these closed meeting conversations about things that should not be happening in closed meetings.
Dan, this is Tar. Would that problem be resolved if we took into consideration Phoebe's suggestion that people there certain limited information regarding the sale or purchase of physical property?
Well, it certainly makes it clear that it's limited.
Okay. Would that take care of that objection then?
But I think that the other point, I know that, you know, Bob and others often raise these issues at board meetings. Hey, wait a minute, we shouldn't be discussing this in closed session, should we? And that often, I think, solves the problem.
And one other question I had, there was a part about any information about an employee, unless the employee has okayed the release of that information. That's awful broad, for example. Like, say, for this is going to use a total hypothetical. Say if a programmer, I'm just on top of my head, I have, this is not alluding, there's no analogy to anybody that I know of. Music programmer, for example, had a day job, let's say, with some, anti-union institute or something like that, and they had some other thing going on. I would, both as a trade unionist and as a progressive, I would want to talk about that and not be shy about that. I mean, would that be the type of thing that you couldn't discuss?
And then, Sarv, can you read the stack? Because this is becoming a two-way conversation.
Okay, and Lydia. So let's limit our...
Sure, well, that's my last question for right now.
One or two questions that you have, a really burning one.
Am I next?
Next is, let's Dan respond a little bit to Stan, what he said.
Okay, well, let me just respond to Stan's last point. The situation that he's describing, I don't think would be one that would arise in closed session. If he learned that there was someone on, you know, KPFA or one of the other stations who was involved in some, you know, reactionary sort of activity, and he wanted to bring that up, well, it wouldn't be a closed session item in the first place. It would be something new based on his own knowledge and information.
Okay. Next is on the...
I'll just be 1 second. Hang on.
Sarv, can you read the stack, please?
Next is Grace, and next is Lydia.
Put our poll in the stack.
Okay.
Go ahead, Grace.
Could I speak or wait till Dan gets back?
Go ahead. Where is Dan?
Okay. All right.
Where did he go?
Dan said he had to go away for a minute.
Okay. Just wait for a couple of seconds.
Okay. And, Sarv, can you add Bob to the stack, please?
Okay.
There's an incredible echo.
Otis? Odi? Is there a way to minimize this?
No, the only thing we can do is
There is no echo now after you came on the air, on the phone.
Yes. Yes.
Echo.
No, but it's not coming from you.
No, it's not. There's no echo here.
Mm.
It happens all the time, you guys. We haven't been able to come up with any pattern that...
Yeah, let's just keep going.
Well, you sound great. I'm going to mute again. Maybe that will help. I don't know.
Sandy, your phone is, I think, contributing. Can you mute it and see what happened? Hello?
Okay.
Yeah, I did it. Oh, no.
Okay. Is Dan back?
Yes.
Hi, Dan. Okay, go ahead, Grace.
Okay. I think we're putting the cart before the horse here. There is a lot of difference in opinion or whatever about what should be kept confidential and what shouldn't be. Phoebe had a very good suggestion in the last governance committee meeting that met quorum, and that's that we ask our council to cite the statutes that apply. So in other words, you know, some people think everything should be kept confidential, and some people think that the confidentiality of information should be very limited. And we get lots of flack about this from listener sponsors who resent the having information kept from them, and I think that that's valid. So because sometimes as LSB members we're afraid to not keep things confidential because we're not certain about the law, I think that we should postpone consideration of the confidentiality agreement until we see what the law really is. Because, you know, I really just don't want a legal opinion. I want to see what the law is so that I understand it and I can comply with it.
Next is... no question regarding this confidential agreement.
Is it Lydia? You said
Lydia,
it was.
Lydia, go ahead.
Okay. So, number one, I wanted to respond to Stan in case Stan doesn't know. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago. There was a policy passed, a motion passed at the PNB level that allows members of the board who are in executive session to share that information with another member of the board who happened to be absent from that session so they can stay current. And so that is allowed, because I know that you asked the question. My question to Dan is on going to an outside attorney. Didn't you say last time that they're not obliged to keep anything necessarily confidential about Pacifica that they would learn because their agreement of confidentiality, their client would not be Pacifica?
Yes, I did say that, and as we discussed it, we developed, I forget whose suggestion it was, but we decided to put into the agreement language to the effect that you can consult an attorney, but you have to get the attorney's promise to maintain the confidentiality first,
okay.
And then once that happened, it would be binding.
Okay. That was my comment.
Okay. Arpal?
Okay. I'm a bit concerned about the fact that I haven't been able to see this.
You can't hear.
Okay, I'm sorry. Is this better?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm a bit concerned about the fact that we haven't been able to look at this, pardon me, final version for more than a few minutes. Pardon me. And I'd really like to look at it longer than that. Also, I have a concern, having experience as part of a minority on a local board, I'm concerned about the possibility of a local board or the PNB
designating something confidential that maybe shouldn't be. Or, you know, I mean, I'm not going to come up with a concrete example here, but I think we can all understand the idea that it is possible that some group may decide, a majority of some board would decide that something is confidential that a lot of other members think should absolutely not be confidential. And I'm concerned about this kind of thing being used to silence members from speaking about legitimate public issues in Pacifica. And so I'm very concerned about this. So I have two things. One, I think we should probably not pass this tonight. I think we need to read it more. And two, I'm concerned about things being called confidential, which really are at least arguably not.
I agree with all that.
Okay. Bob?
Okay, a few points. First, I'll repeat what I said last time, that I don't support the idea of a document that needs to be that's required to be signed by each individual board member saying I agree to X, Y, and Z. I don't think that's appropriate in an institution like Pacifica, and I think as long as we have a policy that's very clear and written, that's presented to every single board member when they join the board, or currently, you know, for the first time, it will be presented now. That should suffice. And I'll offer a motion about that a little later. But for now, I just want to go to one issue of wording of whatever statement. In other words, I'm going to propose that this be converted into a policy statement rather than a personal confidentiality agreement. But within the wording that's here, a lot of which I think is useful conceptually, I would like to suggest something like the wording where it says confidential information is information that is disclosed in confidence and deemed confidential by the PNB or an LSB, that we insert some word like and properly deemed confidential. And that way, if someone is disciplined for disclosing something that it later turns out that the board, whichever board we're talking about, had no right to deem confidential in the first place, that then there's a clear basis to overturn the discipline after a finding. And this finding could be really by any. I mean, it could be by the body that did it originally, could recognize they made a mistake. If it was a local board, it could be by the PNB overriding the decision of the local board to deem something confidential, or hopefully it won't come to this, but theoretically a court could review it and find that it was improper. So that's why I'm suggesting that word properly be inserted. It might make all the difference as far as the very valid concerns that several members have raised tonight about the potential for abuse of this power. So I guess I'll leave it there and then come back to, yes, I'm sorry. The issue that Stan raised about sharing this information with other board members, whether they weren't present or whether they were, I appreciate that Lydia said that was passed in a separate policy, but I think when you're presenting a comprehensive policy on a subject, if the board has already passed something, it should be here in this document. So there should be a sentence added saying something like, this should in no way preclude a board member from sharing in confidential information with a member of the same board to which it was disclosed, or, you know, whatever the appropriate wording of that would be, just so it's all in one place for reference. That's it.
That's it. That exhausts us, and Dan, you have anything to add here, and you like to? Before we
the issue that Bob raises, I guess that it would kind of saying that it would be a defense that the information was not deemed confidential in the first place seems reasonable. I'm trying to think through the practical implications of that. So I guess it would mean that if someone felt that there was improper deeming of information confidential by the PNB, that person could take a chance by by disclosing it publicly and then have to deal with the consequences, and could defend himself or herself by saying, well, it wasn't confidential information in the first place. I mean, I suppose that's workable. It doesn't sound inherently unworkable. I think that, you know, the points that Arpol and Grace raised about the misuse of the idea of confidential information, I think those are valid concerns, but they're not really, they're kind of outside the issue of the confidentiality agreement. I mean, what I'm hearing is, you know, perhaps there needs to be additional training for board members and officers and so on to avoid overusing closed session, to avoid public conversations of things that might be seen as embarrassing or sensitive, even if they're not strictly speaking confidential. And of course, that's a good idea. I mean, the more training we do with each other and to get on the same page and make sure we're following legal requirements, the better. But I don't think it really speaks to the confidentiality agreement itself.
Much. So, Dan, is there a possibility you could include this Phoebe's idea of certain limited information in item 1, 2, 3, and also Wendy was saying something may be subject to discipline by foundation under bylaws, PNB and LSP, something to the effect of PNB and LSP authority.
Yeah, I mean, I've been listening and making notes of what people have said, and if you like, I can try to incorporate them. Again, I think, you know, most of the suggestions that people have made do not change this document from a legal point of view, and if the committee and the board feel that these changes would make the document less threatening and more clear, of course I'm happy to do that.
Okay. Well, is that acceptable to the rest of the body here, for Dan to incorporate that? And
I would like to reiterate my request, if it's not too cumbersome, to know what the law is. Is it different in different states? I mean, Pacifica is incorporated in California. There may be federal law, but also California law. Does California law, because Pacifica is incorporated in California, apply to BAI, say, or to KPFT? We have had a tendency at KPFK once in a while to deem things confidential that legally don't have to be confidential. I would like for there to be as much transparency as possible. Therefore, I would like to know what the actual law is, and I think that's what I would like to request from Dan as legal counsel, to cite the actual law that applies here.
What we can do is, Dan, you have anything to add to that?
Well, you know, of course I'm happy to do that if that's what people want. I want to say, though, in at least partial response, that a lot of these matters are not made confidential by law, but by the self-interest of the organization, right? There's no law that says that we cannot, for example, discuss our legal strategies and settlement postures in public. We could say, well, you know, XYZ has sued Pacifica, and we think he has a great case, but Foundation Council should try to settle for $25,000. We could do that in public. It wouldn't be illegal, but obviously it would be contrary to our interests. So in most cases, or in at least half of the cases that are listed there, that would be the response to Grace. It's just, we want these things to be confidential because it's in Pacifica's self-interest. Now, talking about personnel information is probably the most glaring exception to that, because if we disclose information about an employee's disciplinary record or compensation and so on, and the employee doesn't want us to, he could sue us. So.
Okay. Barb?
Yes.
Jim here.
Yes, Jim.
This is just a judgment from where I sit and read in the document.
Sure.
And I just have a question. And the question is, if the document is to protect the abuse of information that has been determined by the board or by the LSB to be confidential, if it is to protect that desire, then what's wrong with specifying those things that are in fact could be deemed confidential?
Ben?
I'm not sure I understand the question. I think that's what the list of items is supposed to do.
I think what Jim meant is some more specific examples. Is that what you were saying, Jim?
Well, what I'm saying is that as the document stands, and with the suggestions that are made tonight, it seems to sort of give us a better, or in other words, I'm a little bit more comfortable with if those suggestions are that we made tonight are there, then I'm a bit more comfortable with the document, and I'm also listening to someone who made the suggestion that we need to specifically know what the boundaries are. I'm thinking that's something that could be inclusive also.
I'm just explaining.
Dan?
Does it make sense?
Dan, you have any idea on that?
Well, I think the way I'm interpreting that point is that goes to the training of what should be discussed in closed session in the first place. I mean, if it's discussed in closed session, even if it shouldn't be, it's still not the right of the individual to break the closed session confidentiality. Right, so I mean that's the point. I mean that then gets to Bob's point that if it shouldn't have been discussed in closed session in the first place, and someone there's an effort to discipline someone for disclosing it, that would be a defense that it was improperly discussed in closed session. But there's no, you know, there's no magic language or policy that's going to prevent a board from abusing the closed session privilege. That's really up to the self-discipline of the board members to raise these questions. And again, we could supplement that with training or even a memo if that's what the board wants me to do.
This is Stan, KPFA. I have a question regarding...
Hold on, Stan. Jim, are you satisfied with your answer, Jim?
Yeah. Because my point was that how do you avoid board members abusing this whole closed session in terms of wanting to discuss information that may not be necessarily information that can be that should be rather discussed in closed session.
Please put me on the stack too, Sarv, Wendy.
My whole point is that I think everybody is in agreement that we want to be in a position where this thing is not abused. And how do you avoid that?
Phoebe wants to be on the stack, please.
And Bob, please.
Here's Thomas. I want to be on there too.
Whoa!
Just a second.
Hi, Thomas.
Just a second. First of all, I think that if it's okay with the rest of you, I think that those people who have not spoken before, I'll let them go ahead, and then we can come back via time here again.
Is there anybody that hasn't spoken before he wants to speak?
Hey, just a second here. Hold it. It's about 6:30, so we have about an hour gone by, and so I think it's an important one to discuss here. This item, no question about that. But who hasn't spoken before? Thomas?
Yeah, well, I clearly have spoken.
Go ahead, Thomas.
First of all, and I'm sure Dan and all of you have worked real close on this. This document is very concise and clear. And that's very good. That's very, very good. And I would expect that most of the discussion is around items 4 and 5, particularly 5. And the answer to the question that I would have for Jim, and that I think Dan would be better informed to say whether my thinking is right or if it needs to be supplemented or if it's just wrong, is that, first of all, the best way to protect against an abuse of the rule about closed session is to punish the board member who violates the rule. That's the first thing. The second thing, though, I think that's implicit in all of our discussion, at least what I've heard, is that our board, and in fact, I would suspect that all the local station boards abuse the use of closed session, such that we have closed sessions when we don't have to, and we discuss in closed session some information that ought to be discussed in public session. And some people might even object to it, and they're voted down. And if the group votes it down, and particularly if it's a gross abuse of that rule, but even if it's not, if an individual member feels strongly about the issue, that member might feel that the only way to hold the board accountable or to get the broader body of Pacifica to review what happened is to disclose what happened. And I know I've done that. And so I think that, first of all, there's nothing we can do if we're going to continue in the tradition that I've seen in Pacifica, and that is people aren't really sanctioned for their misconduct. So it doesn't matter whether we have a well-written, brief statement that clearly states what the prohibitions are and clearly implies what the consequences would be. But we can't do anything if people aren't sanctioned. And then second of all, even if we sanction people who violate the rule, we'll find that we're making a mistake in some instances because Pacifica has a tendency to abuse the rule about confidential meetings. As for the certain financial information, I would imagine that Dan, as well as he prepares for our meeting and as thoughtful as some of our board members are, you probably considered that the term certain limited financial information is too vague to serve as an adequate warning to people about what they shouldn't talk about or what they shouldn't disclose. That seems to me unworkably vague. Now, as for my part, I'm still of the mind that I had when the original document was passed around, and that is this. I'm against signing a document that more or less confirms the obligation that I have as a board member. As a board member, I have a duty, a fiduciary duty, to be loyal to the organization. And if there's information that should be kept secret for the benefit of the organization, I should pursue the best interest of the organization. So it seems to me this well-written and concise document more or less reaffirms the rule that's already in place. And that is, if I violate the best interest of the organization, I could be punished for that. So to me, the rule is redundant. And in Pacifica, it might not work because we don't enforce our rules. So I know I took a long time, but I think that sums up my feelings. And I'm sure that all of you and Dan have something to say about that. Or maybe outside of the meeting can tell me where I'm off. Thank you. I'm listening.
Dan, you have any short response to that?
Well, I think that the points that Thomas made about legal issues are correct, and I think the policy issues are really those for the board to make as to whether this is a useful device at all or whether it should just be tossed out. The genesis for it is twofold. Just to remind people, one is that I went to a Berkeley KPFA LSB meeting and found that the Berkeley LSB was already doing this for the kinds of reasons that have been discussed, and there was an interest in trying to make it uniform for the foundation. And then the second reason for doing this was that there have been some improper disclosures of closed session information which have jeopardized the foundation's interest.
Thank you. My suggestion is that we have not too much longer here. We're running out of time here. So I'll maybe what we can do is maybe take the stack here, finish this stack, and take a couple of minutes each person, and then after that we can vote it up and down, this thing here, and we can have a people, this is going to go back to the Pacifica National Board, and it will be discussed there as well. And we can have a minority and majority opinion, because we've been working on it for like 3 months, 4 months.
Mm.
And I think this is just way overdue that we produce something here for the National Board. Mm. If we don't do that, then they're going to take over. Next person is Wendy. Wendy, would you make a short speech?
Remember when Jim was speaking, you said, hold on, Stan.
Oh, you will be there, Stan. I got a Wendy here. Okay. Go ahead, Stan. You, then Wendy. Stan, make a short speech.
Yeah, okay. My question is this. My understanding of confidence is that why you cannot discuss the details of the session. We have false information out in the press, and you have the legitimate right for false information without elaborating. Regarding Roy Campanella, when we decided not to fire him due to the sexual allegation.
Stan?
Yes.
Could you please not bring specific people's, whatever the cases are, in here, and try to limit your questions to this document, and if you have any questions for Dan.
Well, my question is, Star, first off, that's a well-publicized, I'm always talking about how people voted. That's a well-publicized example. Once again, my question to Dan Siegel is this. Do we have the right to, the board members have the right to talk about what decisions are made in executive session?
Dan?
Someone said this earlier in the meeting, which seems like a very good practice, which is that some of the boards at the conclusion of closed sessions have a joint understanding of what's supposed to be said, and they do that. And then, the spokesperson for the board makes that announcement, and that's what's said. Otherwise, the information remains subject to confidentiality.
So unless you have
Wendy?
Actually, that isn't exactly what I said. I know that it's a good idea, but, it's always been my understanding that you can report out what happened. Otherwise, if you can't do that, then how can the foundation operate? I mean, you have to tell people what you did. I think that's one of the... That would be something really important to clear up. But the reason I have to be on the stack is that I think this whole thing is a waste of time. We could sit here and nitpick this document forever. What I think it is that all of the stuff that's in here is actually the law already, and it's even in the Pacifica bylaws. And what people are objecting to is having to sign something saying that they understand it. Throughout this whole Pacifica struggle thing is that, let's just say one of us reported something that was really important to the public and that we think is really important to help the foundation, and there happened to be a majority of the board people or whoever it is that think it wasn't, we already see that there are ways of dealing with that. None of us were on these boards when real improprieties happened and people decided to take action about it. So, we could just object to ever having to sign anything. It doesn't change the law. It doesn't change the bylaws. We all have to understand that this position comes with a great deal of responsibility. And if we want to let a rogue board kick us off for violating any one of these things, then we have other options. People have already shown that. And so I think it'd be really useful to get a good policy on what happens when there's an executive session and, what is the rule on what you can report out? But I also agree that there should be, that the committees and the boards should agree on what they should report out. But if they don't, then, we need to understand what the law is on what we can say.
Thank you. Phoebe?
Okay, about information on sale or purchase of specific property, I think that happens rarely, but the thing is that if you're getting bids, that information is going to have to remain confidential until, it would not be in our interest to divulge what other people's bids were so that they could be bid slightly higher. You see what I mean? About the law, I'm not really interested in reading the law. I'm sorry, I just don't have time to wade through legalese, and I don't think it's necessary. Although I think anybody who wants to, more power to them. And I'm also not in favor of postponing when our attorney has recommended that we have a confidentiality agreement, and this has dragged on for a long time. So I would like to make a motion that we make the following changes, the following revisions. Add certain limited to the beginning of the first, second, and third points.
Item.
Two, in the introductory, this is Wendy's concern, in the introductory thing, it could read, I will have access to confidential information concerning, I'll have access to confidential information which, if divulged, could harm the Pacifica Foundation. I think this will go over better if you just spell that out and people know that that's why we're doing this. It's not to silence people, it's to protect the foundation. Okay, number three. Remove in the second to the last paragraph where it says, I may be subject to discipline. I think it's simpler just to say, I may be subject to removal from Pacifica boards, et cetera, or other penalties. So delete to discipline until include. We're anarchists. We don't like discipline. and then I also really like Bob's suggestions. So this would be number four, A and B. Add properly deemed confidential, and then the thing about this does not preclude LSB members sharing information amongst themselves about what happens in executive session.
Where would that go?
That would be up to Dan.
Okay.
What was your last sentence? I'm sorry.
Dan?
Yes.
Are you getting the notes here?
Yeah, I've made notes of all those five points that Phoebe mentioned.
Okay.
I didn't hear Phoebe's last sentence. Could you repeat that again, Phoebe, please?
Well, it was what Bob said, to add a phrase about this does not preclude LSB members sharing information amongst themselves. So if there's an LSB member who misses a meeting, that's held in executive session, another LSB member can fill them in.
That's the point.
If I could just, I think that would refer to PNB members
PNB,
as well.
PNB, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Okay. All right. So that's the motion.
I second.
Okay, motion is seconded. Any objections to including these in the proposed agreement?
We all know what we're agreeing on.
Oh, we can read it again.
Huh?
We can read it again.
Yes, that's what I
okay, you go ahead and read it. Harpal?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead and read it.
Okay. The motion is to add the words certain limited first, second, and third items in the introductory